This week marked the start of both Gynecological Cancer Awareness Month and Women's Health Week. To kickstart decisions, the Australian and New Zealand Gynecological Oncology Group released a national report as an overview on related cancers and the impacts these can have on women. The Wire's Zachary Probert spoke with CEO of ANZGOG, Alison Evans, to discuss the report and what can be done for those dealing with gynecological cancers.
An overview report was released this week showing the impacts from gynecological cancers in Australia. Could you speak a bit about that?
Sure. I think the reason we've released the report is that one of the biggest areas of concern is the lack of awareness within the community, and particularly with women, about gynecological cancers. These are five key cancers. They are cervical, uterine, ovarian, vulval and vaginal cancers, and they are cancers of the female reproductive system. And consequently, they are ignored and unknown, and women don't like to speak about them very much. And that's one of the biggest problems that we're trying to address by being able to talk about the diagnosis and background of these cancers.
With a lot of these issues that you just stated, and you've also mentioned that a lot of the times women are being diagnosed late, why is this, and what kind of resolutions can we come to?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important just to talk for a moment about these particular cancers, because unlike many other cancers and chronic diseases, gynecological cancers grow very silently during the early stage. Gynecological cancers are among the deadliest in women today, and every day more than six women will lose their lives. These are very, unlike other cancers and chronic diseases, gynecological cancers grow silently during the curable stage, so that when detected, they're often advanced and much harder to cure and treat. And this is because the symptoms are very much like other things. These can include bloat, back pain, pressure on the bladder, difficulty eating, bleeding or spotting. And women just put that down to everyday things. And they are everyday things, and you shouldn't panic if that's what you've got today. But if you have this every day for the next few weeks, you should be going to a doctor, because that means there's something out of the ordinary happening. And women are a bit inclined to put that aside and ignore it. And they often feel that there's a real stigma about this and they don't want to speak up. And what we're saying is that you should know about these symptoms and you should speak up for yourself. And some of the reasons for that are that, you know, there are 19 women diagnosed every day. And when you've got that many women diagnosed and they are not being diagnosed early enough, you've got real problems treating those women.
It really sounds like there is a huge importance in terms of the awareness for women to look out for, as you said, not just the symptoms, but the frequency of those symptoms. And so kind of getting into the importance of Gynecological Cancer Awareness Month, as well as Women's Health Week, what kind of impacts have you seen that it's had on communities?
I think we need to remember that these women are your daughters, mothers, sisters, friends, and therefore they are significant contributors within communities. And when we look at different communities, we see some really significant impacts for gynecological cancers. There are stark inequities faced by women in regional, rural and remote areas, and those from lower socioeconomic backgrounds and First Nations women. For example, women in regional areas are often 1.6 times more likely to die of a uterine cancer because of late diagnosis. Women from lower socioeconomic backgrounds are 2.1 times more likely to die from uterine cancer, and uterine cancer includes endometrial cancer. And when we look at First Nations women, it's 1.5 times more likely to be diagnosed with cervical cancer, and then often because, again, it's late diagnosis, they can be 3.4 times more likely to die than other groups. So we really do ask people to think about this. There are a lot of other indications that can compound this. Living with obesity is one. Lifestyle has impacts. But what we need to also think about is that this is not about women and their difficulties. This is actually about this being a hidden disease. This is about it also being a very rare disease. Gynecological cancers, 55% of them are rare or less common, and that means that we need to, the patient benefits really well from molecular profiling, and if we can get molecular profiling for that patient early in their diagnosis, we have a very, very good chance to be able to treat them. So get to the doctor soon and advocate for your health. Have molecular profiling if that's relevant for your cancer, and your doctor should be able to help you and advise you on that. And then remember that research is forever working on new identification and new treatment. And that's where our hope for women comes from, is that those combinations of advocating for your health, molecular profiling, and increasing the amount of research we do around these cancers is what's going to make a real difference for women.
Well, speaking on research then, do you believe that there's enough support and funding for research in this kind of area?
Well, we do believe that there needs to be more. We know that while the larger volume cancers have had significant fundraising publicly and also for with government, gynecological cancers have been a long way behind.
That was Alison Evans speaking with The Wire's Zachary Probert.